All right. Welcome once again, everyone, to another Resurrection Day celebration. Happy Easter. He is risen. Amen. It's such a joy to be here with you today celebrating our risen Lord. And I love knowing that all over the world we have brothers and sisters celebrating along with us, the proclaiming the same truth and rejoicing in Jesus Christ. On Good Friday, as Becky mentioned a little bit earlier, we took a journey following Jesus Christ to the tomb. And as part of that journey, we responded to an invitation to leave certain things at the grave with him. Perhaps sinful desires that we cling to, things that hold us back from fully following him, maybe things that God had brought to our mind that we want to leave behind. We placed them in this bowl, the bowl I have right before me, in the tomb with Jesus' dead body. And I want you to notice this morning that the bowl is now empty. All those things are gone, just as the tomb was found empty on the third day after Jesus' crucifixion. Let that be an encouragement to you that those things you placed in there are gone. But the tomb, the empty tomb, is not just proof that Jesus' body was gone. It's a sign that he defeated death and paid the price of mankind's sin in full. The empty tomb was the beginning of something new. And the same is true of this empty bowl. It's not just a sign that our burdens and our challenges with the things we're letting go of are gone. It's a symbol that Jesus had made something new possible in each one of us. Let's turn now to God's word and recall the moment that changed everything, Jesus' resurrection. If you have a Bible with you or there's Bibles nearby, you can follow along. We're going to start in Matthew 28, reading verses 1 through 10. I'll give you a moment to find that, and then we'll read it together. Matthew 28. It starts out saying, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" This was the ultimate awakening. For the past several weeks, we have been exploring the idea of being awake and aware of God's great gifts. This was the great awakening, the moment that unleashed every gift available to us through Jesus Christ, including everything we've explored throughout Lent and so much more. These women were just the first to encounter Jesus alive. The account of his resurrection continues, and we're going to turn now to Luke 24, where we find Jesus walking with two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. Luke 24, we're going to read verses 13 through 15. "That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." These disciples of Jesus were sad, as you can imagine. Jesus had been taken from them. They were struggling to make sense of his death and now the empty tomb that they had just seen. In the midst of their sorrow, Jesus comes alongside with them, walking with them, and ultimately revealing himself. Hi. As they walked, he revealed himself, and then he shared a meal with them. Later on, we read that he appeared to a group of his disciples. We'll jump down now to verse 36 in Luke 24. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy, and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. And so he assured his disciples in their fear, showed him his wounds, he ate with them, and he didn't stop there. He went on to explain how everything that had happened fulfilled the prophecies of the law and the prophets, revealing God's plan from the very beginning. And finally, in Luke 24, 44 through 49, we read that Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He made it very clear. Every word of the Old Testament was leading to him. Every promise was being fulfilled in his resurrection. And now his disciples were being called to go and proclaim this truth to the world. Let's read that in Luke 24, 44 through 49. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Luke then tells us in the beginning of the book of Acts that Jesus appeared to them for a period of 40 days, teaching them about the kingdom of God. Jesus, alive, appeared to many people over all that time. Woven throughout all these accounts of Jesus' resurrection, we see Jesus pouring out the gifts of God to those who trusted him. Think back on the past several weeks, those of you who have been here, as we've considered throughout Lent the gifts of God made possible through Jesus Christ. Each one finds its fulfillment in these resurrection accounts. We talked about the gift of presence. Jesus spent time with his disciples and promised them, "I am with you always." We have that same promise today. We talked about the gift of forgiveness. We celebrate that his death and resurrection provide full payment for the sin of all people. The gift of compassion. Jesus gently met his disciples in their grief. He brought them comfort. He assured them that he was indeed alive. The gift of security. Their fears were being replaced with joy and hope and peace for the future. The gift of wisdom. He opened their minds to understand Scripture. The gift of faith. The resurrection created and solidified their faith in a risen Savior. And the gift of good news. In the end of these accounts, we see Jesus commissioning his disciple to proclaim his name to all the nations, sharing this good news of his resurrection and all it accomplished. All of these gifts that we talked about are right here in the resurrection account. Jesus' resurrection enabled him to fill his followers with these incredible gifts. Jesus was awakened from death by the power of God the Father, and the tomb was emptied. This was the beginning of something new and wonderful. And by that same power, God invites us to be emptied of our old, sinful, wounded selves, and be filled with all that he has to offer us. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in the beginning of his letter to the Ephesians, a passage that's just rich with all the declarations of the blessings available through God. Let's go ahead and read a part of that as well. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 23. Ephesians 1. And just notice all the different blessings that Paul points to because of Jesus' resurrection. He says, I do not cease to give thanks to you, thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the workings of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, the power and dominion above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Ephesians is just rich with the glory of God, giving us wisdom and revelation and knowledge and hope and riches of inheritance, all available through Christ. And Paul describes the immeasurable greatness of God's power at work in us. That's the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. This is what we receive because of our risen Savior. We celebrate him today. Our Lord is alive, filling the world with his greatness, and we give thanks for what we can have filled in our lives through him. We have the joy and privilege today of living in the ongoing fulfillment of these great and powerful gifts made available through Christ. They are part of our everyday life as Christians. Each morning you wake up and live in the presence of Jesus, you have access to every gift God makes available to you, allowing you to see the world from his perspective, growing under the mentorship of the Holy Spirit, and freely sharing those gifts with people you encounter. You can do this with confidence, knowing that Jesus is with you and watching over every moment. The resurrection has made possible the ultimate gift, a life in Christ available through faith in him. I sincerely pray that we may all remain awakened to this wonderful truth and pursue the life Jesus wants for us each and every day. You are not too far gone or too weak in your faith for Jesus to utterly transform your life. Nothing is impossible with God. You do not need to look back and regret, wondering if years have been wasted. Instead, look ahead. God has prepared great works for you to do in Christ Jesus. And you do not need to fear walking this journey alone. He is always with you. He calls us into life-changing fellowship with one another to fulfill his commission in this world. So let us live in this awareness of the fullness of life made available to us through Jesus' resurrection. Today, as we stand in the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are reminded that Jesus didn't just rise for us, he rose to transform us. He invites each of us into a life awakened by his power, filled with his presence, and overflowing with his gifts. Let's not just celebrate today, but also step forward with confident faith into the life that he has made possible, embracing the gifts made available because Jesus came back from the grave. Let us wake up to this truth every single day, living as resurrection people, carrying the hope and victory of Jesus wherever we go, giving him thanks every step of the way. Let's pray and give thanks to our Lord and celebrate him again with our closing song. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for you, especially today as we put our focus on Jesus and his resurrection. We have a confident faith in him because we know these things to be true about him, Lord. And we have confidence that you are with us and you fill us for everything you call us to. We look into your word and we see you calling us to live in different ways, to release things to you, to take up your yoke. And sometimes we fear what you've called us to. We hold back. We worry. But because we see Jesus alive, we can have confidence in him, and we can be free to let those things go. Meet each one of us here today, Lord, encouraging us to let go of the past and to embrace the future in our risen Lord. We pray this, Lord, in your name. Amen.